discount from the bottom.
I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the crying in the street.
Are you there?
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. This is all
I know. I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, I don't want you to violate the law.
Get in your back, number. He'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
Good works are done in light, so what's done in darkness needs to be brought to light. And it's up to us, citizen media, to be out here and expose it.
We will stand and fight.
Are you there?
Seeking answers to age-old questions. Deciphering the world painted around you by the mainstream media. This is the Kev Baker Show. And now, here is your host, Kev Baker.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I am your host, Charlie Robinson. This is not the Kev Baker Show, despite what the intro told you. For those of you that don't know, we are mourning the loss of our good friend Kev Baker. He passed away on January 2nd after a long battle with COPD. He was on a lung transplant list in Glasgow. He did not make it, and I'm just overwhelmed with grief and sadness. I'm so grateful for the time I had with Kev. I loved him like a brother. We referred to each other as brothers. He was one of the good ones. He was the first guest on Macroaggressions that was by design. There was never any discussion about anyone else being the first guest. I simply would not be doing this if it wasn't for Kev Baker. We met about 4 years ago. I had just put out the Octopus book. I was looking to promote it. I had been listening to Kev for a while. And I reached out to him one day and said, I've got a book. I think it might be right up your alley. I'd love to come on and talk about it with your audience. Are you interested? And he said, yes, let's work something out. Let's do it. And I came on, and it was instant. I mean, he didn't know me, and I didn't really know him, but at least I knew his radio work, which was not just radio work. It was also YouTube. It was simulcast on YouTube as well. So I was familiar with him. He was not familiar with me. But after that first show, we were close, you know, and it continued. I was a recurring guest on the Kev Baker Show every month for 4 years. He did Freaky Friday from time to time. Well, he did it on Fridays on YouTube and TFR Truth Frequency Radio. And I would stop in sometimes just to hang out with the guys, the Woo crew, as they called them, the Wookiees. Oh, the Wookiees. And you hear that Scottish accent, man. Every time I hear it, it just made me smile, just made me laugh, because I knew there was something coming. I knew there was some smart ass comment coming. And I'm going to get into other things too, but I really wanted to at least talk about Kev in this episode a little bit. And talk about how much he meant to me as a human being, as a content creator. So many shitheads out there in the world, you know? So many people pretending to be something that they're not. That's not Kev, man. What you saw was what you got. He was a unique guy. He was genuine. He didn't have all the answers. None of us do. But he was looking. We're all looking. He wasn't afraid to ask questions. He wasn't afraid to stick his nose into someone else's business. What are we interested in here? What are we doing? What are we looking at? My relationship with Kev was one of just constant, never-ending shit talking, not about each other, but just, take a look at this article. Take a look at this insanity. Oh my God. Look what this person said. Look at, you know, it just, it, we were on the air once a month but we were emailing each other all the time. My last two emails to Kev were not returned. I didn't understand. Well, I didn't understand why at the time. The first email I sent to him was sort of just the typical banter that we had. I was doing Christmas shopping. I was in this mall by my house. I came around the corner and there's this store there. And the name of the store is just capital letter Q. That's it, right? It's just the Q store. They don't sell Q stuff. It's not like Trump Land or anything like that. I don't even know what they're selling. They might have been selling. It might be like a, I think it's like a women's clothing store. I don't know. But I walked by and I was like, what the fuck is this? You know, like it's the type of thing where it, like you stop your train, like, what sort of insanity are you guys putting on in here? I didn't go into the store. I just pulled out my phone and took a picture of it and sent him an email, said, hey man, I'm at the store. Do you need anything? You know, a response, you know, a comment that would definitely have gotten a response in a couple of minutes from Kevin. I didn't hear from him. And I saw him a couple of days after that on YouTube. So I was like, okay, well, Kev's fine. So I sent him an email after that saying, hey, I hope you're doing well. I heard he was in the hospital. And then I was like, oh, well, that might be the reason. I mean, that's obviously the reason why he didn't get back to me with my Q thing. And then I saw him on YouTube and I was like, wait a second, what's going on? Okay. So then I sent him an email saying, hey, I heard you were in the hospital. I hope everything is going well after the transition surgery. What sort of pronouns do you want me to use to refer to you? You know, again, this was the childish level of communication, at least on my end, to Kev and back. It was just ball busting, shit talking, insanity. And I didn't get a response back. And I thought, well, this, again, he's out of the hospital, so it probably isn't a thing. And then Jimmy Jean reached out to me and said, hey, listen, Kev's in the hospital again, and it's bad. And it wasn't, and they put him on a ventilator. And of course, I know what that means. So there is a real life. There's real stuff happening after that. Kev's wife is left with their son, Kevin. They could use our financial support. There is a GoFundMe account that has been started by the amazing people over at aftermath.fm. That link will be in the description. Jimmy Jeans and a bunch of guys and I did a, well, I was on for 8 hours. The telethon went on longer than that. As of the recording of this, we have raised a little over $7,000 of a $10,000 goal. I would ask you all as a personal favor to me, if you are in a position where you have a little extra money and you are looking to do something nice for someone that will never know you and never realize it and never say thank you probably back to you, I would take it as a great favor if you guys would contribute to his account. I would never ask for anything like this for myself. I have no problem asking for it for Kev Baker. He was that good of a guy. All right. I'll leave it there. Kev, you are and were loved. You are and were a great human being, and I will never forget you. Thank you for everything that you've brought to my life. I hope I contributed some laughter to yours as well. So changing course here, guess what? I guess I'll mention there is some other news for the new year. I knew this And I thought this was coming. It is now has officially happened. You can catch Macroaggressions in video format on band.video. We now have a channel there. Thank you to Alex and Rob over there for making that happen. I appreciate that. It's another platform for us to get the message out to people. So if you are interested in, if you're an InfoWars fan, obviously, you know that their stuff can't be shown anywhere, so it's got to be, they kind of had to build out their own platform. That's what band.video is. And it's not just Alex Jones and his guys. It's a bunch of other content creators on there, too. So thank you guys over there for allowing me a place to showcase my flavor of insanity. I think that the people over there will appreciate, maybe they'll get onto the Macroaggressions train. There's always room. There's room on this bandwagon. We'll take people as long as they're interested in getting to the bottom of these things and trying to find some sort of solutions. So you can catch us on band.video. This is going to be the last time I do a monologue episode off camera. From now on, I'm going to do them on camera. It's still going to be the same thing. I record these in one shot anyway, so it's not like I'm... Let me reframe that. From time to time, I'll push pause if I have to cough or take a sip of my drink. But for the most part, these are one-shot deals with notes. But I decided with the increase in the band.video audience, with the massive growth of both Rockfin and Iconic, and also feedback from you guys, the listeners that say that you like the monologue episodes, I figured, well, I'll make a video version of them. And I thought I could just do static images or something to overlay on this. And through conversations with Tony Merkel, he said, man, you should just record yourself doing them since you do it in one shot anyway. Might as well turn the camera on and just do it. So that's what I'm going to do starting next week. I plan to do it this week. I simply cannot with the Kev stuff. It's too emotional for me. It's still too raw. And so anyway, we'll be doing that. Another bit of house cleaning since we're going to get into a topic of the things that we got right in 2021. And there's no reason for a victory lap or anything like that. But I think in the interest of being intellectually honest, and I try to be as intellectually honest as I can. I try to be dishonest in every other way, but intellectually honest. No. I must say that I got the Ghislaine Maxwell verdict wrong. I've never been more happy to be wrong about something in my life. I was adamant that there was going to be some sort of grade A fuckery happening when it came to that trial. And to be fair, I'm still going to reserve like a very, very slight sliver that the fuckery may reassert itself into this situation and something might happen like they, I don't know, some sort of retroactive like jury misconduct or something. I don't know. If this winds up happening and this case gets overturned between the time I record this, which is the insurrection day, by the way, thoughts and prayers for the worst day, in the history of the planet, obviously, between now and when you are hearing this, then maybe I'm Nostradamus, but I don't know. There's just part of me that thinks that there's still some sort of surprise ending, you know, but wait, there's more when it comes to Ghislaine Maxwell, but we'll see. But like I said, I'm proud to say that I was wrong about my assessment of her. I truly, honestly believed that she would be found not guilty, not because she was not guilty, but because she would just be found not guilty. And I'm glad that she was. I'm glad that she was convicted. She is a convicted child trafficker, which is who she is and who she's always been, just not the convicted part. So we'll, let's get that out of the way then, right? I'll just start by announcing that I was wrong. Now let me go into a bunch of, now we'll get into the meat of the episode where we talk about some of the things that we in fact did actually get right over this past year. Oh, and by the way, but since I've got business related stuff, before we even get started with that, I'm just going to mention the sponsors. I'm not going to do the whole ad. C60purplepower.com forward promo code macro if you are in the market. Chemicalfreebody.com/macro. You can check out the program that Tim James has put together there for us. Promo code macro. If you're in the market for gold and silver, contact Tony Arterburn over at Wise Wolf. You can get to the website www.macroaggressions.gold. We have TrueHempScience.com, promo code macro for them. We have Heelan 951, H-A-E-L-A-N 951.com / macroaggressions there. So you can take a look and see if any of those sponsors are right for you. I'm going to put, I put the links to all of the sponsors, every episode in the description. So if you are interested in taking a look at what they have to offer, I'll always make it easy for you to do that. I don't expect you to be, driving around with a pad of paper and pens, writing all this shit down. So I'll make it easy for you guys to find. So let's get into the, let's get into 2021, the year the conspiracy theorists ran out of theories because they all kept coming true, right? Have you seen that meme going around? I mean, it's kind of partly true. We still have some conspiracy theories. Don't you worry about that. We're not really going to run out of them, but it got to the point where so many of the insane, crazy things that we said were going to happen, or we said we were at least on the path towards having these things happen. We were, summarily mocked by everybody, friends, family members, called conspiracy theorists for not having faith in the government to turn this whole thing around. Look, it doesn't make you a conspiracy theorist to recognize the very obvious shortcomings in the way the government works. It just doesn't make you a bad person for pointing that out. This is obvious. In fact, if we want to get technical about it, it makes you kind of a dipshit for not figuring it out. And I'm not going to just go harass people that haven't figured it out, but if they want to come at us for being unhinged conspiracy theorists, for thinking these things, well then, it's only fair if we point out the fact that this stuff is obvious. What we said was coming, we're not Nostradamus here. I'm not putting together quatrains and speculating about what, it's fucking apparent. First of all, you have to know where to look for the information. You have to sort of be discerning in the fact this is good information versus bad information. That is always a difficult task because you can find something that's filled with 95% good information and that 5% kills the whole thing. So you have to be good at looking through and sifting through what's real and what's factual and what's fraud and what's a clickbait and all that stuff. So that in and of itself is talent that we're constantly working on. But as you get better at that, as you come to an understanding about the way the system is set up and how things work, you can see these things coming a mile away. And so it looks like magic to people that have no understanding of this, but it's really just common sense and observations and extrapolation. You say, well, based on what I see here and knowing who I know is involved with this operation, I can project that it will take us in this new direction that most people will say, well, that's crazy. That's not going to happen. And then it winds up happening and they go, how did you know? And you say, well, to be clear, I didn't know for sure that it was going to happen this way. It was an educated guess based on, well, an education, based on an understanding of the system, based on a knowledge base of who, not just who the people are that are running the operations, but who is in their orbit, who they are connected with, what companies they used to work for, what people, you know, I want to know if some guy is out there telling us what we have to do and making all these dictates and stuff, regardless of the country. I'm curious to know what that guy is involved in outside of his business work, right? I want to know if that guy's on the board of directors of any other companies. And if he is, I want to see who else is on that board. And if there's a guy from Reuters on the board of directors for Johnson & Johnson, or, you know, then it is reasonable to think that the news reporting coming from Reuters about the vaccine is going to be slanted. That's not, like I said, it's not quatrains. I'm not going into a meditative trance and, or drinking ayahuasca with shaman. I mean, not today, at least. But that's not where you know, you don't need to go to these extraordinary lengths to get this information. You just have to follow the money. You have to follow the connections. A lot of them lead back to the same people, and you start to build this web. Some people have built this web in their heads. Some people have actually gone like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie Day style, and like, you know, there's like boards, you know, with strings going from one thing to the next, and, you know, push pins with pictures and diagrams and charts, and you're connecting all of it. So it's like, it's as much of a conspiracy theorist as you want to be, you can be that. But what I'm saying is that when we start talking about the origins of COVID early on, and we don't accept the rather ridiculous story that it came from a wet market, from a bat, and we say, that doesn't sound right, let's examine that. Now, there's a segment of the population that is going to see us as well, we're pulling away from the herd, and because we don't believe that the herd is getting the right information. And that's a threatening move to people in the herd. They see the herd shrinking. They see us going off somewhere else. We're now not part of that herd. So they view us as the enemy. So it's an interesting psychological thing that happens to people that are part of the herd and see other people leave the herd. And, you know, if you are familiar with Plato's allegory of the cave, you can understand how when someone breaks away, gets the real information, comes back to the herd and says, guys, this is what's actually happening. There is a bit of pushback from the herd, because which is a surprise usually to the person that is delivering this newfound information that they believe the rest of the herd would want to know about, considering how important it is. It's an interesting tactic. It's an interesting psychological trait that the people in the herd will instinctively push back against it. They don't want to be woken up. They're not ready to unplug from the matrix. They want that steak, even though they know it's not steak. You know, so it's an interesting thing when you come out and you say, you know, to your friends, I got good news and bad news. The good news is this whole pandemic situation isn't as bad as it's being made out to be. The bad news is you've been lied to about it. By everybody, your news, the pharmaceutical companies, the regulatory agencies, your pastor, your teacher, your boss, everybody that's telling you something about this, that's telling you about this virus and about how it's going to kill everyone, they're all lying to you. Some of them know that they're lying to you. Other people don't. They believe that they're telling you the truth. So it's an interesting thing when you know, the WHO said in 2020 that COVID came from a wet market. We understand now, through looking at history, through looking at Fauci's emails, through looking at a lot of things, that was not the case. And the media denied it for a long time until they could not deny it any longer. And then they slowly came about and admitted that, yeah, well, look, it looks like it came from a laboratory, but it was leaked from a laboratory. It definitely, positively, certainly wasn't intentionally taken out of that laboratory and spread around everywhere to create a pandemic so that society could be remade. It definitely didn't do any of that, but we will admit that it did not come from a bat in a wet market and that it did come from a laboratory in Wuhan. So you understand this is a limited hangout. They are admitting that they were wrong about some part of the story in an effort to regain some of their credibility so that, you will believe them when they tell you the new lie in the new version of the story, which is that it accidentally escaped from this laboratory. No, it did not. It didn't accidentally escape from the laboratory. If it accidentally escaped from the laboratory, why were they running Event 201 several months before that, simulating an outbreak? Because it was coming. Because it was on the schedule to be coming. So you don't schedule accidental outbreaks. You schedule real outbreaks. And then say that they're accidental outbreaks. Well, actually, first you say that they're from a bat, which, because, you know, look, if that were the story, how much blame would you put on Anthony Fauci? You know? I mean, until he's just a guy who's driving this, and maybe he made some bad decisions, and maybe he moved the goalpost, and maybe he did all these things, but he certainly wasn't responsible for this, right? It just happened in a wet market. But once you dig into the emails between Fauci and Ralph Baric at UNC Chapel Hill, once you see what they're concocting, then it becomes, okay, hang on a second. It's not a wet market and it's not accidental. It's actually happening. It was made to happen. You know, once you find out that the scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology all got sick before COVID was announced, then it's more and the sickness that they got, the symptoms matched exactly what COVID was, then it's more difficult to try and blame it on a bat. And you've got the World Military Games incident in October of 2019. No fans there, remember, no people, they were just fogging the streets with unknown stuff. You had a lot of the people that were there for those military games saying it looked like it looked like there was nobody in the city. And there's like 10 million people in Wuhan, or I don't know, maybe there's more in the surrounding areas. But anyway, the people said it looked like the city was closed down. Like they told everyone not to go, not to interact with them. So what were they doing? I mean, were they spraying all the athletes so that the athletes would go home to their various countries and ramp this thing up into overdrive? So then things start to come out, like two scientists wrote a study that said in part that, quote, the presence of the double CGG sequence is strong evidence of gene splicing, and the absence of diversity in the public outbreak suggests a gain of function acceleration. The scientific evidence points to the conclusion that the virus was developed in a laboratory. Okay. So we were right about that. Where is our parade? I'll wait for our parade to, you know, for the brave heroes of the information war that got it right when the mainstream media told all of us that we were crazy. Let's move on. What about vaccine passports? You crazy, unhinged, lunatic conspiracy theorists with your ideas. How dare you? You know how dangerous this is for society. You really think that they're going to say papers, please? I mean, what do you think this is? 1939, Nazi Germany? Ugh. Tired of all this winning. I'll be honest with you. Tired of all this winning. Boris Johnson was against them before being for them. You know, the vaccine passport. Same with Trudeau. These guys are in public statements talking about, we're not going to do this. There's no need for it. It's unconstitutional. There's no social contract. We can't do this. Oh, really? Well, that's what you said early in 2021. By the time we got to the end of the year, it was, of course there's vaccine passports. Of course they exist. Duh. Yeah. They want to test you and they want to keep track of all your biometric data. And yeah, HIPAA goes out the window and all that stuff. But it's for the greater good, guys. Seriously. And it is papers, please. And it's not anchored in science, the vaccine passports. I mean, look, we rightly called out big tech's role in this. Okay. We saw what was happening. We've seen some of the same characters. You've got Bill Gates talking about vaccine passports well in advance of this sort of this shit happening. You've got him negotiating contract tracing deals with Congress the year before COVID. I mean, come on. You can't like bury your head in the sand and pretend that that all this stuff just was accidental or organic. It just wasn't. There's too much advanced knowledge of that. But the vaccine passport component of this was something that was fairly easy for us to call out. I mean, you know, after all, you can go back and you can look at what DARPA's doing. You can go and look at what the World Economic Forum has on their website talking about this before COVID. You can look through a lot of different organizations and specific companies that have been working on this stuff for a while. This is not accidental. It's big, big money. And it's no secret. Wearable devices, the plan has been here for a long, long time. You know, vaccine passports is just the outward facing version of it. So, my body, my choice, right? With the vaccines. Oh, not with the vaccine passports. What else were we called conspiracy theorists for talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, this is sort of like a subset or I guess connected to vaccine passports. And that is the COVID concentration camps. Now, whenever you start talking about concentration camps, you automatically get yourself into a very sensitive area that has to do with World War II. But let's be honest here. That was 70 years ago. If you're looking for more recent examples of concentration camps, they're all over the place. These things exist. We've got Uyghur camps in Western China. You know, you've got indentured servitude in some countries. You've got factories that basically, you've got fucking what's going on in China with the, you know, companies installing suicide nets, like at Foxconn, installing suicide nets off of the roofs of the buildings to catch people so that they don't die after jumping off the building. Like, allow yourself to just explore that concept for a minute, that there is such a huge problem at the facility that you're running, Foxconn, that where people make their little, you know, they put buttons on circuit boards all day long, 15 hours a day, and then they live there too in like these dorms. It's got to be hell. It's forced labor. I mean, they get paid for it, but it's a form of forced labor. It's a form of a concentration camp. And so, you know, like instead of, oh, well, maybe we should make the conditions a little better, they're like, ah, fuck that. Just put suicide nets up. We'll catch all these little bastards when they jump off, and then that way they won't die. And then we can punish them. So it is, When you make the prediction that there's going to be concentration camps used to segregate people that they believe to be sick with COVID, a virus with a 99.98% survivability rate and a median death age of 80, when you say something like that, you run the risk of being laughed at. I recognize that. It's hard to call out concentration camps and say that was coming. So it does sound crazy the first time you hear that, and I fully recognize that. but it doesn't mean it isn't true. And of course, it is true. It's 100% true. They're not just theoretical. They're actual. They're built. There's people in there. There's a fucking ad campaign from the one in Darwin, Australia, when people rightly called it out for being a COVID concentration camp. What did they do? The government of New South Wales put out an ad campaign where they got young, like late teens, early 20 looking girls in shorts. You know, it's summer. It was summer when the camps were open there in Australia, or it's summer now. And they had them in like springtime, sort of like, hey, just, you know, like an Instagram post, like just me chilling, hashtag blessed, you know, just me chilling, you know, here at the concentration camps. I mean, it's a fucking embarrassment, of course, that these exist. But what's even worse is that the people are trying to tell you that they don't exist. So the gaslighting is crazy. I mean, listen. You think COVID concentration camps sound crazy the first time you hear it. Imagine how nuts it must be to actually be put in one. And that's what was happening. And of course, we saw the story of the three young boys that were like 16 years old that broke out of the camp and escaped. And there was a manhunt for these people. What were they on the loose for? Were they murderers that had escaped from Alcatraz and made an inflatable dinghy and floated across the bay and they were on the run, these vicious murderers? Is that their crime? No, the three 16-year-old boys in Australia that escaped from the COVID camp had tested negative and were over it, and they wanted to go home. And let me remind you that it's not enough to just kidnap people and put them in these camps against their will. But they were put in at least the one, Howard Springs in Darwin, Northern Territories. You're put in there at a cost to you of $2,500 per person or $5,000 per family. So you're paying for your own incarceration. And it's not stopping. This isn't a one-off deal. There's an 800-bed facility being built out right now near the Brisbane airport with another 1,000-bed facility starting now. They've already got $66 million set aside for it. It's starting now. And on top of that, the 1,000-bed facility will, when it is finished, will be able to be expanded to hold 3,000 people. Everything's being built. It's prefab. They're building it elsewhere. They're prefabbing it and shipping it to the site and assembling there. But, you know, it's not just Australia that's doing these either. Canada is getting in on the action too. I know everyone in Canada is really surprised, right? Saskatchewan's building a 300-bed facility with $11.6 million. Ontario Project has 2,150 rooms for $84.1 million. Under construction, or finished in some cases. So, I'm going to start a single file line where everyone can get in to offer their apologies to me when they told me I was crazy for saying that they're building concentration camps. Where's my apology? Where is it? Look, again, to be crystal clear, I don't want to be right about this stuff. To be right about them building concentration camps for COVID is the wrong thing to be right about, right? I would love to be right about them, about the people of Australia burning these places to the ground. You know, that's what should rightly be happening. But until that happens, we're going to report on what is actually happening. And what is actually happening is that COVID concentration camps exist. They have, and to be fair, in Australia, I think the big camp had been built for something else and it was kind of sitting there, which is the reason why it was, and they repurposed it and said, oh, let's just put COVID people in. Not that I'm giving that some sort of free pass at all. I'm not at all. Insanity is insanity. But I think that they justified that by saying, well, you know, we got this camp here. It's really doing nothing. And maybe we'll put it to good use by, you know, rounding up 16-year-olds that don't actually have COVID and then putting them in jail. And then acting like all of this is totally normal as the drones fly around and on the loudspeaker announce to you, if you've stepped out of your house, go back in your house or we'll fucking shoot you. You know, so again, not, don't want to be right. Would love to be wrong, but we're now at a place early on in 2022 where we have the benefit of hindsight. We can take a look back and see what we were right about and what we were wrong about too, to be crystal clear, we're going to get a lot of this stuff wrong. I just started, you know, several minutes ago talking about how wrong I was about Ghislaine Maxwell. So I'm not coming from a place of, I know everything and I know how this is all going to turn out. A lot of this stuff is still up in the air to be determined, but some of it isn't. And some of it we saw in advance. We were waving our arms and screaming like maniacs saying, this is coming. Iceberg is coming. And everyone is, you know, everyone's like, yeah, well, if it was really an iceberg, it would, you know, we'd see it well in advance. And it's like, well, not always. So, you know, I also remember being called a conspiracy theorist for making an additional leap from the vaccine passports, which was at some point they're just going to put microchips in everybody. You know, that's where they want to go. Now, this is not a new concept. If you've ever watched the movie Freedom to Fascism by Aaron Russo, he talks about his relationship that he had. He's a film producer. He talked about the relationship that he developed with a guy named Nicholas Rockefeller, and that early on, he thought he was an interesting guy. And then after he got to know him and realized that this guy was a psychopath of the highest order, he sort of distanced himself from him. But before doing so, he made sure to ask the questions that we would want answers to, which is, what are you doing? What are you guys planning? Where's this all going? Well, you got all the money, you got all the power, you got everything that you want. What do you want? Why do you want to hurt these people? What is the plan? And he said the plan is to get everybody chipped. Now, I'd like you to know that I think his movie came out in 2006. And he was talking about a conversation he had with Nick Rockefeller in 2003, I think. So when somebody says that they want to microchip the population, it can sound crazy. When somebody says they want to microchip the population and they do a video or they make a movie about it and they put it in the movie and they're 15 years early, yeah, they're going to look crazy. No doubt. I'm sure some people thought Aaron Russo was out of his mind. And of course, he's passed away. There's no way to connect with him and get details on this. But is it not kind of obvious that he knew something we didn't know with the microchipping? Because here we are. And only unhinged conspiracy theorists would suggest that people were going to be pushed into taking a microchip. But it's already happening in Sweden through a company called Disruptive. Okay, they have announced it. It made international news. It's not a secret. They talked about how they have developed this microchip. So anybody that's saying that's conspiracy theory, no, it's conspiracy fact. It's coming. It's been on the drawing board for a long time. These maniacs have been talking about it and fantasizing about it and circle jerking to it for decades. This is what they want. They've wanted it for a while, but they needed the technology to catch up with them. And I'm sure that covertly they've been working on the technology. They've been working to make the technology catch up with their devious plans. But we've got transdermal tattoos with vaccines in them that they're talking about. Bill Gates is talking about it. you know, with a substance called luciferase, because that's not at all weird, and a patent number 60606. We've got contact tracing. That concept came into public lexicon in 2020. Contact tracing. Ooh, interesting. We're going to track people that have been in contact with other people. Watch those videos of the databases, the mapping systems where they show cell phone people and they show where, you know, when they're showing the video of like, this is how we do contact tracing. We show all these cell phones were down in Florida at this one spot for spring break. And then we can track where they went. You know, it was spring break. So a lot of them were college kids and they went back to school. And so they were showing all the lines of where they had been for spring break and then where they wound up going. That shit exists already for your cell phone. Clearly, we know that. And if you've got your cell phone in your pocket or with you everywhere, which most people do, that's a form of microchipping in and of itself. But that's obviously not going to be the final frontier. They're pushing for this. So we are, you know, so we were right about the microchipping. Where's my gold star? Not that gold star. Not a yellow star. Gold star. Totally different. But look, I think one of the things that we recognized just as a broad category for 2021 was their willingness to move the goalposts on any sort of topic. That little elf Fauci, man, he's got to be exhausted from moving the goalposts as far as he's been moving them over the last 18 months. I mean, everything he says, he has to backtrack on, or he says it different. He says something different. It's a, you know, it's, we're, let's examine some of the things that they move the goalposts on in the year 2021. I mean, I think let's just start with the most obvious, and we won't make it all COVID related, but it just seems like that has been the topic. The first and most glaring lie that was told in 2021 was that once the vaccine comes out, you need two shots and that's going to be effective and then you're good. Okay. That's not necessarily just moving the goalposts. That's an outright lie, because they had already been working on booster shots years in advance. I mean, they've been working on these vaccines. When you start looking at the patent information, these vaccines have been in development for years before COVID started. So we can just stop with the idea that that this is all just in response to COVID and that we rushed to market these vaccines. Even if we did, that's dangerous. You don't want to do you want to rush to market vaccine that hasn't cleared all the trials? That sounds like as bad of an idea as like discount brain surgery. There's some things you want to pay full price for. There's some things you want to wait and say, well, you know, let's let them work all the bugs out first. And they'd been working on these vaccines for a long, long time. So the idea that they were going to be two shots and then that was it, and that there weren't going to be a need for any boosters. Well, anybody with a functioning brain could have figured this out for a variety of reasons. But the most obvious reason to me was that when you took a look at the vaccine card, the look like a little bigger than a business card that had like, this is when you got your shot and this is the type of shot. And then this is the initials of the doctor that gave you the shot. If you looked at that, there were multiple places to put shots. There were more than two places. There were four places to put shots. So anybody that's like, I'm surprised that they are requiring boosters or anything. Really? Are you though? Because the vaccine card, they're like, dig out your vaccine card. Look how many empty spots there are. You didn't think that they were going to fill those up at some point? You're not paying attention. if you're doing that, you've got to pay attention. The little things give these people away. So they move the goalposts on the masks. Got to wear the masks. Everybody's going to die if you don't have the masks. And then it's, well, maybe. And then it's, well, if you're vaxxed, you don't need the mask. And then it's, well, if you're vaxxed, you do need the mask. And if you're a kid, then you don't need the mask. You need the mask in the classroom, but then you don't need it when you're out at recess. And then you do need it when you're at lunch, but you don't. I don't know. I'm very confused. None of it made any sense, of course. Intentionally. They move the goalpost on the social distancing. 6 feet. It's 6 feet. It's the science. Trust the science. Oh, well, we change it to 3 feet. Why? I thought it was trust the science. If it's trust the science and the science says 6 feet, then did something happen? Did the virus get watered down by 50%? Because you cut it from 6 feet to 3 feet. You told me it was 6 feet because of the science. What is your explanation for 3 feet? Is it also because of the science? Because if it is, then show me the study where the science changes. Or is this all just being made up as we go along? Which of course it is, because there's the idea that 6 feet, 3 feet, all this stuff. It's not anchored in reality. It's training for people. It's telling them you got to stand on that little dot. That dot is 6 feet away from the other dot. We need you to stand on that dot. We need that guy to stand on that dot. You guys are in the line for this ATM. The people that are in line for the ATM to the right of the ATM that you're waiting for, they're also standing on dots. But if you notice, the person standing on the dot next to you is like a foot away from you. Why aren't the sideways dots 6 feet apart? Oh, because the two ATMs aren't 6 feet apart. You understand how this works? There's no science involved in this. They're literally making this shit up as they go along. So that's the reason why they don't have any sort of philosophical or scientific problem with moving the goalpost, because they wasn't anchored in anything scientific to begin with. So when you do that, then there's no anchoring. You can just pick it up and move it wherever. But if it really was about the science, then you would have to, you know, they could show you on in the documents where everything changed. And if that's the case, if it really was 3 feet instead of 6 feet the whole time, then everybody in charge of 6 feet needs to be fired because they were wrong. And that's how this works. If you're wrong about something that big, you lose your job. Not Anthony Fauci. Delta, remember Delta? The Delta variant is gonna kill everybody. I mean, it's gonna kill you. It's the fastest spreading virus in the history of viruses. Oh, wait, and then Omicron came around, right? Remember that one? And then that came from South Africa, and that's going to kill everyone. Yeah, Delta's not that bad, really. Really, Delta's not that bad. You guys got to worry about Omicron, really. Moving the fucking goalposts one at a time. And nowhere was this more evident than in Israel, where they straight up lied to everybody and said, you guys have to get two shots and that'll be it. And then they made the third shot mandatory for the booster and said anybody that just had two shots is now unvaccinated. And anybody that has two shots plus the booster is vaccinated. And then they changed them on them again. Then they said, you got to get a second booster. That's where they are right now. And they're saying, if you just have the two plus the booster, now you're unvaccinated. Like, they don't give a shit. The Israeli government hates their people. They are using them as lab rats. The deal they signed with Pfizer is unconscionable. Force the green pass on them. Have you seen the video of people trying to order at the McDonald's kiosk in Israel, where it says that you have to show your green pass or you can't order? Boy, wasn't there a weird... unusual charismatic leader that did shitty things to the Jewish people years and years ago. I can't seem to think of his name. Seems like their government is picking up where he left off. What a fucking embarrassment. The Israeli people should rise up, man. They deserve better than what their government, we all deserve better than what we're getting from our governments. Let's talk about a goalpost that is moving where it is measurable. You can measure it with actual numbers. And that is Fauci's discussion of herd immunity. You've heard him talk about this stuff. He started off by saying the threshold at which you need to reach in order to trigger herd immunity inside a population is 60 to 70%. So if you get 60 to 70% of the people vaccinated, then what that does is that creates a concept called herd immunity, and that pretty much takes care of the herd. Oh wait, did I say 60 to 70%? He meant to say 70 to 75%. That's what he really meant to say. If you get 70 to 75% of the herd of sheep vaccinated, then that is good enough to take care of everybody. You don't need to get more than 70 to 75. Oh, wait, hang on a second. No, forget that. Anthony Fauci has come out and said that 75 to 85% is really the number that you need to reach for herd immunity, for that to kick in. It's definitely 75 to 85% is needed for herd immunity. I know he said 60 to 70, and I know he said 70 to 75, but what he really means is 75 to 85%. He definitely, totally, seriously means that. Quote, when polls said only about half of all Americans would take a vaccine, I was saying herd immunity would take 70 to 75%. Then, when newer surveys said 60% or more would take it, I thought, I can nudge this up a bit. So I went to 80, 85%. We need to have some humility here. We really don't know what the real number is. I think the real range is somewhere between 70 to 90%. But I'm not gonna say 90%. Except you just fucking said 90%, Anthony Fauci. So here is documented proof that this guy is a pathological liar of the highest order. He has gone from 60% herd immunity to, he's not going to say 90% as he says 90% twice, but he's definitely not going to say 90%. 90%. So if I came into any job and my figures were that far off, would I be expecting my $350,000 a year government funded pension? No, I would not. Anthony Fauci will. Oh, and of course we've got Joe Biden in 2021 coming out and saying, everybody knows that 2021 was the year that it was the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Remember that? Remember that line of horseshit? How many content creators, how many, people with a popular opinion on Twitter or Facebook, how many of those people were thrown off of the platform in 2021 for medical misinformation? Do we know? Do we have any idea? Let's just say a lot. Let's just say a lot of people were thrown off for medical disinformation in 2021, only to later find out and to have their disinformation or misinformation, however you want to classify it, confirmed to be actually true weeks later, months later, sometimes even only days later. So what has been said early on, if you are skeptical of the vaccine, if you're skeptical of the response to the vaccine, to the pandemic, if you're skeptical about there being a pandemic at all, if you have any of those thoughts and you verbalize them, in any way, shape, or form, on social media or in a video sharing platform, you will be thrown off for medical misinformation or medical disinformation, while simultaneously the president of the United States of America, who may or may not still be alive, he may be a reanimated corpse. I can't confirm that. He said, if you take the vaccines, then you won't get COVID. He said that. That came out of his mouth. I mean, presumably with a straight face. If you take the vaccines, then you won't get COVID. Why is he still have an account? That is straight up disinformation. What about this? People that take the vaccine won't die from COVID. Rochelle Walensky, CDC director. Why is she not thrown off of these social media platforms? Those are lies. That's not, I got a number wrong. I was off by a decimal point. We conducted this study, but it was a little wonky. No. It's none of that. The head of the CDC said, people that take the vaccine won't die from COVID. That's a lie. It's not a mistake. It was a crazy time. Mistakes were made. Information was chaotic and it was hard to get. No. They're lying to you. The president of the United States is lying to your face. The head of the CDC is lying to your face. You remember how the SPARS pandemic document ends, right? It ends with these people, not the president, but the other people, the Faucis, the Walenskis of the world, the rappers. It ends with all of them being run out, of being fired and just sort of banished. Why wait? It's frustrating. It's frustrating to know that these people are out there just, you know, blatantly lying to you. They have no qualms about doing that. And yet simultaneously, they're going to say that you're lying for putting out real, honest, accurate information. It's just an upside down world. I would say that thoughts and prayers to common sense, which apparently died in 2021. It had a good run. I miss the days when you could have a decent, normal conversation with friends without it being so politicized. But that's what we've done. That's what they've done to us. They've made everything, all the information, radioactive. They made it so that you can't talk about, you can't have questions about medical procedures without being literally a Nazi and things like that. In the end, it does them, you know, no favors because they look like hysterical retards out there trying to push a lot of these lies. And the nice thing about 2021, and there wasn't much nice about it, but as you get to the end of it, it's a good time to kind of bookmark and look back as to how these things played out. I know that we did a wrap up show for 2021 talking about some of this, but it seemed like it was really kind of a good place to start the new year, saying, all right, so we're probably going to do a show similar to this a year from now, and we're going to look at 2022. What'd we get right? What'd we get wrong? How much of this is going to depend on our attitude going into 2022? I don't know. Probably some of it. So let's keep a lighthearted view of a lot of this stuff. Recognize that some of it is intentionally there to make you go crazy and act in a way that's inconsistent with how you normally act. So try to restrain yourself. I'm trying to talk some sense into myself. If you haven't noticed, I'm trying to tell myself, don't come unglued. Don't yell at somebody in the frozen food aisle because they don't know anything about what's actually happening. Like, get a grip. But let's let's also make some decisions, right? Let's decide that we're not going to take this nonsense anymore. We're going to push back on people. We've got a lot of evidence now that we can show to our friends and family and say, listen, the things that I said that you said I was crazy about, they've come true. Would you like to know how the rest of this story is going to unfold? Because I might not have every single last word figured out, but I can tell you the names of the chapters that you're about to read. It's pretty obvious where we're headed. So we'll start our apology tour in 2022. And by apology tour, meaning the tour in which we wait for everybody to tell us how they're sorry that they call us conspiracy theorists and stupid people, when in actuality, we were surprisingly accurate in what we were saying would happen. Not that we wanted it to happen, not that we were trying to manifest it into this world or anything like that. Sometimes you just have to call it like you see it. Hey, if you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family and see if we can wake these people up. Like I said, we're now going to be found on band.video, so that's a place. We're on Iconic, we're on Rockfin, we're on Odyssey, we're on YouTube. I'm on Twitter for now. That's a shit show, but if you are interested in following me, you can do so at Macroaggressions on Twitter. You can find the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thank you all. Again, the link is going to be in the description to support Kev Baker through the GoFundMe. I am asking you super nicely with cherry on top. Either please contribute some money or maybe figure out where Donald Rumsfeld hid some of that $21 trillion that can't be accounted for. That would work nicely. I think that would go a long way in Glasgow, Scotland. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for being a part of this show, and I'll talk to you soon.
I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the crying in the street.
Are you there?
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. This is all
I know. I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, I don't want you to violate the law.
Get in your back, number. He'll leave you alone.
Yeah. Good works are done in light, so what's done in darkness needs to be brought to light. And it's up to us, citizen media, to be out here and expose it.
We will stand and fight.
Are you there?
Seeking answers to age-old questions. Deciphering the world painted around you by the mainstream media. This is the Kev Baker Show. And now, here is your host, Kev Baker.